Okay, day two. Again, at night, under the lights, I'm not going to say it's cool, but it's cooler than it is in the middle of the day. A lot of energy, just like last night, a lot of passion, guys flying around, a lot of excitement, a lot of energy. But, like I said, we got a long way to go, but I am really encouraged with what I see. I'm encouraged with where we are and the talent that we have to work with right now, but there's a lot of things that are rusty, and our ones look pretty good and have retained some things pretty well as far as knowing what to do. We'll find out where we are fundamentally when we start putting on pads, going against each other a little bit more tomorrow. But right now, I think the ones, I like where they are. The twos have a long way to go, and the threes have even farther to go. So we got a lot of work to do this camp, and that's what I was talking about last night. A lot of work to do, but I like what I see, and I like the way they're working.
Any new faces show you some flashes today that didn't show you flashes yesterday?
Deshaun Oliver made a great catch down in the corner of the end zone. Sanford Say made a really nice catch down there. We had a couple receivers stand up, I think, and make some pretty nice plays down the field. I think some of those defensive backs, boy, especially watching film. You know, when you watch practice, I mean, you kind of are watching your read and the flight. But when you have a chance to watch film, you really see what some of these guys are doing, and really like what James Jackson is doing, some of the things he did. Johnny Shaw looked good. Efren Kitchen looked good. Aaron Roberson from Shreveport looked really good. I liked some of the moves we made, you know, with the nickelbacks and the linebackers, and the way that is starting to shape up and formulate a two deep for us. I like the way that looked. We can't tell anything about the O-lineman or D-lineman yet until we put on pads. You can look at them and say they're athletic, but it's the guy that you think is the farthest away that'll be the toughest, probably the most ready to play when we put on pads. So there are a lot of guys that are kind of standing up doing some good things, but like I said, we're going to learn a lot about our team as we go through these next 15 days.
You mentioned Sanford. He's a guy that seems like he's got a different attitude.
He does. You
know, what happened in the offseason?
I think it was kind of at the end of spring practice, which is when it really happened. And we sat down and put a depth chart up on the guys right now that if we had to travel, the guys that have earned that opportunity. And I think there was only about 30 guys on the travel line. Now, obviously, we're going to travel many more than that, and Sanford wasn't on it. They came to see me, and it was like, Sanford, you hadn't earned it. Until you go out there with an attitude every day and you earn it on the field, it's not going to be given to you. And I tell you what, the second half of spring, I thought he had a great second half of the spring. He did some really good things, caught the game winner in the spring game there for the two-point play. He's had a great summer. I mean, he's just shutting his mouth and he's working. And I think he's got a great attitude. He's working hard. And hopefully we're going to get to see some of that talent that we recruited a couple years ago with the attitude that he has and the work ethic he's putting into it right now.
You talk about how you really like the depth at quarterback. Mm-hmm. 2 days in, it's evident. Is it as good as you thought it would be? Is it better? Where does it stand?
It's evident. Two guys are really tied into their reads and what they're doing, and three guys are really swimming, you know, and making mistakes that get you beat. Throwing the ball high over the middle, throwing it late over the middle, receiver runs a wrong route, we throw it to him and throw an interception. I mean, things like that where you see, I really think Jeff and Ryan right now are really tied in, movement keys, reads, and you're really seeing what they're capable of doing. But I think the young guys just need work. I mean, we knew they weren't going to be ready today. That's why they're freshmen. You got to remember, you know, right now, this is the first time I've seen Alex Woodall throw a ball in a year. I mean, he's been here a year and 3 months, and I saw him throw his first football as a quarterback yesterday. Liked what I saw. I see some talent in there. But these reps that he's getting right now will be invaluable for him. And same thing with Price Wilson. But both those guys right now are at the age Ryan Higgins was 2 years ago when he had to play and wasn't ready. You know, I mean, so I want to be fair. I think they're going to learn it, they're going to develop, and they're going to get better. I really like Jamar's talent. I like his talent. I like his attitude. I would think right now with the quarterbacks that are in front of him, he'll redshirt. But I think he's going to be a special player here in the future.
Dejon Oliver is a name that you just keeps popping up as you talk about guys that have gone out and work hard. Just a little bit about him and what he, you know, coming in as a walk-on and just kind of keeping his nose down and working hard and what he's done to get to where he's at now.
Dejon Oliver had a lot of flashes a year ago. You know, when he came in here as a walk-on, I'd be like, wow, who was that? and then he dropped the next eight balls. He knew what he was doing. He's running good routes. He's working hard. He just wasn't as consistent as he needed to be. But I tell you what, he's got an incredible attitude. He's working extremely hard, and he's gotten better. He's changed his body. He's gotten more physical. He's gotten bigger. He's becoming a better blocker. He's becoming an every down player. And right now, he's a guy I trust. And like you talk about him as a walk-on, I don't view him as a walk-on. I mean, he's going to be in our depth. He's going to travel. He's going to be on special teams. He's going to play, and he's going to be a guy that's going to earn a scholarship here as we're moving forward, because he certainly earned it just with the way that he's worked, just like a Michael Mims has. Just Michael Mims got an opportunity to get on the field last year quite a bit and earn it now. Deshaun is going to get the opportunity to get on the field this year and earn that scholarship as he goes forward.
Mims and Oliver, Tech's kind of has a history of taking some walk-ons and them really stepping up. And, of course, the big one that everyone talks about is Tremont Williams, who's several years in the NFL now. But Mims and Oliver, they kind of what you look for when you hope to get walk-ons. It's not like, granted, you have some preferred walk-ons, but kind of what you look for.
Well, and, you know, like Michael was a preferred walk-on, one of those young men we recruited. And he had other opportunities, but he wanted to stay close to home and he wanted to play here. And you know, I look at a year ago, we put six guys on scholarship, six walk-ons. And you look at Ricky Jones and Marlon Seitz, who played a critical role for us a year ago. I look at what Connor Smith has been doing for us and the role that he's playing. But all these guys, what they bring to the table, they bring an unselfish attitude, hard work, and they just want to go out there and play football. They love the game. They're tough. They're physical. It's not about an entitlement issue. It's not about I play football. It's about I want to go be good. And we can't have enough program players like that. And I think those guys are how you build your program. I have a huge preference for walk-ons. I was a walk-on. I have a big heart for them. And when a guy comes in and works hard and does the things that they do, then I'm going to put them on scholarship here, because I'd much rather take that attitude and reward it in this room than I would go out and say, well, let's go get another one. And let's go recruit another guy and use that scholarship. You got to come down and look him in the eye. And tell him why you're not putting him on. And if he's helping us win and helping us build a program, I think we got an obligation to put them on scholarship. And every one of them has panned out. Every one of them has done a great job for us.
It kind of goes into a story. I wrote a story about a month ago about y'all's undersigning and how it's paid dividends for you. Is that part of the dividend? Is being able to scholarship to walk on?
Yeah, I mean, undersigning to me, especially at Louisiana Tech, there's always going to be some available. Alfred Smith, you know, I'd hate to sit here and say, Alfred, we can't take you because we don't have any more initials. You only get to sign 25 a year, and when you get to that 25, you can't take anymore. And so I don't want to be at 25 going in. I mean, I would like to have one, because there's always going to be possible transfer, bounce back, somebody qualify late. I mean, there's always things that happen out there. And I have found, I mean, when you look at the last couple of years since I've been here, and you look at the Houston Bates, and you look at the Paul Turners, and you look at some of the transfers that we've had come in here, to have a scholarship available, the Cody Sokols, to be able to take them, I think that's huge. So, yeah, I want to sign high school players. I want to bring them in here. And if we don't get a transfer, then I'll take a couple walk-ons, and I'll put a couple walk-ons on scholarship, because we have guys that have earned it on this football team. And there's a couple more that are coming down the pipe that are going to earn it in the future as well, because I got about three more that I think are like a Deshaun Oliver. They're going to get an opportunity to play a little bit this year and make a name for themselves.
Dio is one of your outside receivers. A year ago, you didn't have much depth at outside receiver. Couldn't redshirt Marlon Watts like y'all probably wanted to.
Correct.
How do you feel about your depth at receiver today
versus last year? I think Marlon's getting better. He's now been in the program going into his second year. I still wish he had a redshirt, you know what I mean, that I could redshirt him at some point. Because I think if he were 220 pounds, I think he would be phenomenal. You know, right now he's 190-pound, you know, taller, lanky receiver. He's got great ball skills. I mean, great ball skills. Probably the best ball skills of any receiver we have out there. But I just think he's got to mature and grow, kind of like we talked about the quarterbacks. But I like what he's doing. Marcus Gaines is doing some really good things. Obviously, you have Paul and Carlos, and I think Marcus and Marlon bring a little depth to the table. Deshaun Oliver, Sanford C, and I really like what Woodard has done in the first 2 days that he's been here. I think he shows some flashes to have a chance to help this football team, or at least be a spare if we were to have an injury or have some needs. But I think he's going to be a really good player here as well.
You feel a whole lot better about depth at outside receiver this year versus last year?
Without a doubt. I mean, just the overall depth that we have, I do. You know, where Deshaun, or Woodard, Javonte Woodard is, you know, he's right now, he'd be a fourth, you know, as an outside wide receiver, where last year Marlon Watson, Marcus Gaines, as true freshmen, were backups. You know, they were twos, and it just goes to show you a little bit more of the depth and the way those guys have developed and come along.
You're always going to be developing depth and trying to get your first 22 and your second 22, but just on that note, do you think this is your first fall where you're not almost scrambling to get depth quickly because you had so few numbers early on in the first 2 years?
I think for sure, compared to year one, yes. I think last year we had more depth that had played. I think we have more talent on this football team, but we have less experience. And that may sound crazy with like 18 guys that have started games coming back for us, but when you look at their backups, they haven't even been on the field. You know, we're sitting here talking about guys that are going to be our second corner that are true freshmen, guys that are going to be backup linebackers that have never really played. We've got some defensive ends, you know, that really we have two starters and then nobody behind them's ever played in the game. And so as much as I agree with there's some positions like receiver and quarterback and running back we probably have a little more depth at, there's other positions where we're not as deep, where all of a sudden the Liggins is gone because Bryson was your third last year as a junior who'd played a lot of football for you. So I don't think we have as much experience, but I think overall when you look at our football team, we probably have more talent and speed.
Looking at the secondary, your first four guys have a ton of experience, a ton of starts. After that, it's very, very few and far between. Does that worry you going into the start of the season?
Yes, and that goes back to what I talk about, where what's our two deep look like? If a corner goes down, who's the next corner in, and is he good enough to win with? And right now they're not. You know, right now with where we are, where a year ago I looked at Bryson Abraham as a starter, and when Levander Liggins didn't play a year ago, I mean, Bryson went in, played two games, started, had a couple interceptions, and played great for us. And so it's a lot different having three starters, and you know if a guy gets nicked, you go, Bryson, go, and not even take a breath. Where right now, if a guy gets nicked, you'd go, E. Ronnie, which one do you want? Well, which one are we going with? But those guys are going to get better, and that's what this camp is all about. That's why we're getting so many Pascal reps right now. And as we move along in camp, we've got to get our starters enough to keep them polished. But our seconds and thirds are going to take the bulk of this fall camp.
Tomorrow you get to put on shells for the first time. What are you hoping to see out of the team?
I hope we stay healthy. That's my number one. If we can come out of this healthy, then it'll be a productive day. And I look at every day like that with camp because of the depth we just talked about. I want to see him play football. I want to see where we are fundamentally. I want to see how much carryover we have. And we can lift and run, but we're not going to a weightlifting competition. It's not a bodybuilding competition. It's not a track meet. It's a football game, and you play football with football pads on. And so no more of this just running around. And, you know, it's not about looking pretty and all that. It's about being productive and who's going to give us the best chance to win. And we're going to learn a lot about the O-line and D-line and a lot more about the run game tomorrow, where really all we've done for the last 2 days is throwing the ball around on air. And so we'll learn a lot more about our football team and where we are physically. And they'll get sore, and we'll have to push through it a little bit. But that's really where you build your leadership and the character of your football team.
When you put on another layer of padding, so you go from helmets to shells, guys want to step up the physicality some and really, how do you encourage them to keep the intensity up, but remind them, don't tackle to the ground, be safe in how you're approaching the certain aspects of the practice?
I think our upperclassmen have learned how to practice. Now, the first year, I can remember saying, okay, we're in shells, you know, nobody on the ground, and the first play, I mean, there was a pile of 22 bodies, you know, in the middle of the field. We've learned to practice over the last couple of years, and the players understand how important it is for everybody to stay up and stay on your feet. But I think that's part of the culture of your football team, and something that when you talk about building a program, you learn how to practice. And that's one of the things that I think we have a pretty good grip on. Now, when the freshmen go out there, I would imagine there'll be a pile of 22 bodies, and we're going to have to teach them. And you won't see Kenneth Dixon or Xavier Woods or Vernon Butler out there with the threes until they learn how to practice. But, I mean, that's part of the process, and that every year, no matter where you are in college athletics, you have freshmen. I mean, graduation's part of what we do. It's in the NFL. We can't keep our roster together, and we get freshmen every year, and we got to teach them, and it's a learning progression that they go through, and it's fun to watch the light go off. It's fun to see how far Ryan Higgins has come since his redshirt freshman year, to see the way he's playing. People look at him as a freshman, and I think when they get an opportunity to see him play, they're going to go, wow, he's gotten better. He's gotten a lot better, and he's doing some really good things. And that's the progression that you like to take him in. The young quarterbacks right now, it's kind of like the movie Officer and a Gentleman, you know, when he's leaving and they're throwing the same lines out that he heard at the beginning of camp. It's kind of what we're going through, and I see Price and Alex where Ryan was a couple years ago, but a couple years from now, they're going to be there, and there'll be another guy sitting in that chair as a freshman. So just part of the process, and it's part of the culture, and we got to teach them and educate them to how we do things, and we've talked about our practice tempos from the beginning. We've showed them film on how we practice. I mean, we're doing everything we can because you don't want to wait till somebody gets hurt and then try and make a point about it.
How much are you involved in film study with the quarterbacks, since of course it's you're calling plays and that kind of thing? How much do you go into the room with Tony and talk to the quarterbacks?
We watch every play as a staff every day. We were here till 11:30 last night and back here meeting early this morning before we started meetings. Before the players were here at 7. And we watched every play. And we talk through every read. And, okay, we're on the same. Yep, no, we're good. We're good. I think Tony is an excellent football coach. I think he's done a phenomenal job with that room. When I got involved with the offense, I talked about how far away that room was from year one to year two. And I think the development of that room is solely due to the credit of Tony Peterson and the recruits that he was able to bring in here and the job that he's done coaching them. I think he's got an excellent mind. I think he's a great football coach. And I think he's done an amazing job with that room in 2 years. And I think a big part of that has been I've taken some of the offense off of him. So Tony and I have great trust in Tony. We're on the same page. We meet. We watch a film. We talk through reads. Coach, I was thinking this. You know what? Let's do it that way. I like that. He's coached a couple number one quarterbacks too. I mean, he's been around the game. And so I value his opinion in his read, and we just want to make sure we're on the same page. So when we go out there on the field and I start yelling at a mistake made, we're all saying the same thing. And I think that is critical, and that's why I give Tony an unbelievable amount of credit, because of the unselfish attitude that he's had. It hadn't been an easy transition for him and what he's gone through, but I think it has paid incredible dividends for this program with the job he's done in that room with the quarterbacks.
I had a request to ask you, unfortunate incident today with a former player, comments on that?
I have great respect for IK Inipoli. My experiences with him were very positive while I was here. Never had an incident with him. He was a captain of this football team, was a leader, was involved in community service, was very involved in the area high schools. Involved with the underclassmen on this team, and he was a leader. And I hate it. It's unfortunate, but we say all the time that, you know, 10 seconds of a bad decision can change your life. And there are a lot of people that are in prison that made a 10-second bad decision. And so I hate it for him. I hate it for him and what he's going through right now. But at the same time, my thoughts go out to him, you know, my prayers go out to him, and I do anything to help him because I know the quality young man that he is.
Do you use this as a teaching lesson for your current team?
Not only this, but every incident that happens like this. We have used other college athletes that have been dismissed from their colleges over the summer. We've used guys that have been arrested. Anytime there's one of these incidents in the news, we try and use it to educate our players. And one player in our room can learn from somebody else's mistake, then it was worth doing. But we utilize all of these things as teaching points and talk about them quite a bit.
All right, thank you.